T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And we got Buddy Hield's real name from the Sultan of Stack Dick Life when we come back. All right, here we go. His name is Shibano Rainier Hield. And the reason why they call him Buddy Hield is because somehow his mom thought he looked like Al Bundy from Married with Children.
But he's Buddy.
I don't get it. Oh, wait, I made a mistake. The son's name was Bud, not Al,
yeah,
not
right,
Al Bundy.
Right, see?
My bad.
You're doing my man Dick Life dirty.
Okay. He hit me back and he straightened it out. I was like, man, how could he look like Al Bundy?
He teased the hell out of it. I got to give it to him. He teased the hell out of it, and then he delivered, and then I'm sitting there going, oh, well, that doesn't make any sense, and then he finally corrected it. We've been saying some really nice things about Brian Scalabrine lately, and I assumed that was the reason that he agreed to come on the show, and then I just found out, like,
he's
moments
an employee.
Ago, he's an employee.
What do you mean
he's company.
An employee?
He's like an NBA insider now for Radio.com,
our parent
company,
Scal.
So here he is, the White Mamba. You're working for the company now, huh?
Yeah, I'm a company man. I'm joining the team, at least now, until the playoffs are over and maybe into the draft a little bit as well.
Well, what happens then? What are you, like a free agent again? You're going back into the free agent pool? What are you talking about?
Yeah, low commitment. It's hard for people to lock me in for long term.
No, Scal, you're playing this.
I'm not a long term type of guy.
You're playing this right, though. Short term deals. It's a way to maximize your dollars. You learned something from Max, right? He's all about that stuff.
Because I wasn't a max player, I try to get as close to the max as I possibly can.
Your personal max. Scalabrine max.
What are you talking about? You were a max player. It was just the last 4 minutes of a game.
Oh, don't give me that.
That was cruel. That was cruel.
Some people would say I maximize every ounce of talent.
There you go.
All right.
That's a good way of looking
we've been
at
complimenting
it.
You lately because you've been really honest about this team. So you need to be honest about this one because we can't figure it out. So you're around Green Teamers, the Celtic fans all the time. We're astounded here that people are constantly calling up, even when he plays great, and rip Kyrie Irving. Do you get that when you hear from the hardcore Celtic fans? Because where would this team be if you didn't have this guy, Scal?
I don't necessarily get that, why people would rip Kyrie. You know, like, everyone, at least a hardcore fan, should recognize that some of the games he sits out are lesser-tier opponents. Those are the ones that are going to have, obviously, a jaded record. The team does play sort of a different style, but to me it all comes down to, if you guys remember last year, people were really excited about that team and how hard they played, and I got it. But you know they only won one road game last year in the playoffs. And
right.
Kyrie, to me, has won the ultimate road game. He went into Golden State and beat the 73-9 Golden State Warriors at Oracle for Game 7 of the NBA Finals, and by the way, hit the biggest shot of the Cleveland Cavaliers franchise history. So clearly it doesn't matter to him going on the road and closing the deal. He also won a game 5 on the road. So I loved last year's team. I really did. But they had struggles at times, game 7 at home against Cleveland, scoring the basketball. And then also going on the road. They were not a good team. Milwaukee won every road game. Now the scenario is different. You need to go and win on the road. I think Kyrie is the answer to that.
You know, do you get annoyed with Kyrie Irving pregame speech, postgame speech as much as we do?
No, I don't care about that kind of stuff.
I know, but don't you? Okay, so we just talked about Kyrie Irving, the way people think about him, the perception. I mean, I feel like someone should kind of grab him and say, okay, here's some Chris Sale tape. Here's how Chris Sale goes about his business. Now, don't look at, you know, David Price. That's another one. But here's Chris Sale, because I feel like he makes things worse for himself by continually talking where he should maybe just see a period or an explanation point and then just be done with it.
I mean, there's probably some truth to that, but don't we love athletes who are authentic to who they are, whether right or wrong? Like, I get it, right? we all in the media, we want athletes to keep it real because it gives us great sound bites. But then what about the ones that just go out there and say the, you know, hey, we have, teams were tough today, both teams played hard, you know, we just got to be better tomorrow. It's like, it's good for writers writing their story, but I want to know how guys think. Now, does Kyrie maybe say too much at times? Yeah. But I like guys like Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris who keep it real, who are frustrated when they lose. Like, it's in sports, and when you lose, you should be upset. Like, we don't want to see, well, hey, man, we got 82 games. Let's just go on to the next one, even though that's what keeps you out of the news.
You know, Scott, one of the frustrating things with me is that I feel like this group in 2, 3, 4 years from now will look back as, at a wasted season, because I don't expect them to just flip the switch. Just how disappointing is it when I look at this team and it's tough to like? You know, I liked the last couple years, even though they weren't as talented. Yeah. But it's just, it's tough to like this team because I feel like they're underachieving and I don't see them figuring it out.
Interesting. So give me your scenario. First round loss to Indiana?
I think it would be a dogfight more than possible, and I think Milwaukee. Listen, I think they can beat Milwaukee, but there's nothing that I trust about this basketball team. Their kryptonite is adversity.
Yeah, so I'm with you on that one. The one thing I really don't like about this team is when things go sideways, when the stuff hits the fan, like I love the NBA superstar players that make big shots at timely moments where coaches don't have to burn timeouts or, you know, you sort of, all right, man, I'm going to show you guys why I'm a Hall of Famer. Not just an all-star, not a great, I'm a Hall of Famer. And I don't like how this team responds to adversity. I don't love their shot profile. Think about the Sixer game the other night. We had the dust-up between Smart and Embiid.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The 76ers, to me, are an inexperienced team that at times they lose their focus. But did you see what they did? Gave the ball to Embiid, he went to the front of the rim. Gave the ball to Embiid, front of the rim, front of the rim, front of the rim, front of the rim. So what we did, Kyrie did get to the rim once, and then we proceeded with 4 jump shots. Now, I'm not okay with that. You got to know, the officials are going to call fouls during those times. When things get testy, everybody in the NBA knows that the officials call fouls every time you go to the basket because they don't want things to get out of control. Why we settle for jump shots at that time is beyond me. Now, I think during times when things get tough, you got to have an aggressive mindset. I think we take the same shots when things are going well, like heat check type of shots, as when things are going bad. And that's the only real beat I have with this team. The rest of the stuff, I'm not bothered by it, but I'm not sure in the playoffs when things are you know, everyone's awareness is much heightened in the playoffs and the good shots and the bad shots and all that stuff. I'm not sure this team is not going to revert back to being like a really good team in the playoffs.
Well, let me ask you about the approach to it then, okay? Because those are the X's and O's. You played for really good teams. If your team had a 28-point lead and you ended up screwing up and losing by 11, like the Clippers, the next time you face that team, you're going to kick their ass, okay? Because you're a good team and sure, you've got that in front of you. The Denver game, same thing. Where was the attitude?
Sure.
I thought the Sixers the other night, they should have been focused. They came out like dogs in the first quarter against the Celtics. What is missing there? Are these guys too young? Is that what Kyrie is talking about when he's talking about the approach and how these guys approach the game?
You know what? That's not just the Celtics. Maybe, like, you know, it's funny. Like, 2 weeks ago, social media was blamed for everything. But maybe the league is full of, like, a bunch of front runners. And when things mm-hmm. are going well, they play well. And when things are going bad, they just, like, they blow 28-point leads. And maybe because of the AAU generation of playing 90 games in the summertime, and if you're not with this team, you'll just go with that team. You're not with that team. Maybe you don't care that much about winning and losing. Like, the message from our greatest player, our generation, which is LeBron James, he clearly doesn't care about the regular season. The last 4 seasons, he hasn't played any defense at all in the regular season, and he flips the switch. So if you're a player, an up-and-coming player, and you're watching this unfold before you, then all of a sudden you think, like, oh, yeah, regular season doesn't matter, even though you're not as accomplished as a guy like that. It's the reason I really believe that Giannis Antetokounmpo is the league's best player. The guy was selling CDs on the street. He's not jaded by AAU. And what does he do every night? He plays hard. That's it. He's a two-way player that plays hard, and he doesn't like to sit out games just because. Now, sometimes he gets hurt and he misses games. But, I mean, we're simply in the time where if dudes play hard, and they're talented, and they're two-way players. They're literally a top-five player in the NBA. That's where we're at right now.
Yeah, and I think you're talking about front runners. I thought we saw it last year in the postseason, too, Scal. I mean, teams would go down 10 in a row, and they just say, well, we're not supposed to win. There wasn't any close games. It didn't seem like there was, you know, any fight back. But what I want to ask you, though, is about Brad Stevens, because we all love Brad Stevens. We know he can coach. But the criticism this year that I would have on him, and others maybe, that I feel like the same issues exist with this team as they did early on in the year. Do the players, are they not listening? Because it just seems like they would get to them by now.
Lou, you got to give me those issues, because you may think there's an issue, and I know Brad pretty well, that he might not think that's an issue. So if
how about roles on this team?
Something, I got to know what it is.
Roles? How about roles on this team, effort defensively?
He's never going to do that. He's never going to do that. I'm telling you right now, best version of yourself is not going to limit anybody on this team. So if you want him to do that, that's your hopes, not his.
Okay, so he's not going to explain to a guy like Jaylen Brown earlier in the year or whoever it might be, Terry Rozier, that this is what I want from yourself.
Best version of be the best you can be. Be the best Terry Rozier you can be. And you know what? In one sense, I think there's a lot of people that might agree with you. Like, oh, man, you know, guys got to make sacrifices. Man, I was with Garnett. Garnett's a former MVP of the league, and he made major sacrifices for us to win in 2008. But Brad Stevens' approach is not like that. It's about everyone maximizing your talent. Now, in one sense, you could say that's not the right way to do it. In another sense, it's how this team, when everyone's being the best version of themselves, got all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals without Gordon Hayward and without Kyrie Irving. So you got to pick one. You can't love last year's team and everyone being the best version of themselves. Mm. And then this year you're like, I want everyone to take a back seat.
It sounds like a lot of Tony Robbins speak. sounds like Brad Stevens is channeling Tony Robbins.
I'm just being honest.
It sounds like Tony Robbins, but fine. Okay, one last thing for me. And all right, so playoffs coming up. Any changes you would make? Starting lineup. Who should? It's some guys that shouldn't play as much. Some guys should play a little bit more.
That's your best question of the day.
Thank you.
The rotation. I think it's Brown, Hayward, Rozier, Baines. Am I missing somebody? No, I think that's it. And if, obviously, foul trouble, injuries. Ojale will play if we play against Giannis. But I think those nine are what they're going to go with. And it's a pretty good nine. Like, go ahead and you can fill out any nine players you want in the NBA. I like that nine in the playoffs. But they have to play better. They have to play, and when things go sideways, they got to be able to answer the call. Whatever that is, shot profile, get to the rim. They're 30th in the NBA and getting to the free throw line. Maybe it's get to the free throw line. You guys saw the discrepancy against Philadelphia. It's really hard to win games when teams are shooting 24 free throws in.
And I still think the biggest test is, and I think you're right. I think Kyrie will play great on the road. I'm not worried about him. I don't know how anybody else will play on the road, and that's the killer, because they're playing on the road. You got a 3-on-3 Scalabrini Classic coming up this Sunday over at Roxbury Latin School. 3-on-3. Wow, this is interesting.
Fourier wants in.
I want to get the man here, because I don't know, for all the kids out there and all the parents that watch their kid play AAU with these 13-man rosters, and their kid runs up and down and three people touch the ball. And you know what got me on this was Tommy Heinsohn. Tommy Heinsohn was all we did when we grew up was play 3-on-3. And that happened 5 years ago, and I was like, you're right. You get way more touches. You can't hide. You get much more of an opportunity to play and get better. Then I joined the Big Three, which I still play in the summertime and stuff like that. So I've been a big, big fan of 3-on-3. So I hooked up with Shooting Touch. So if you guys want more information on the 3-on-3 tournament, go to shootingtouch.org. But I hooked up with those guys, and I said, let's do a 3-on-3 tournament. We're going to be over at Roxbury Latin. It's going to be great. You can be an old head and can't move, and I think the Achilles tendon tears will be way low because it's only half court.
Should have doctors.
Up and coming.
They should have doctors on staff. Ambulance and doctors on staff.
What's that?
You should have doctors and an ambulance on staff.
Yeah, we will. But I'm telling you, people can play 3-on-3 and do it and feel good. And by the way, for all you people that are wondering, we do play international rules, which is such a rapid-fire pace. There's no, checking the ball up. You take the ball out of the net after a make, you clear it. It's really fast. It's really quick. So
you can't go back and forth. You can't go check for a little breather.
We don't check it out. Yeah, and all the money goes to Shooting Touch, which is a great organization to help young women here in Boston, just like, provide them with opportunities.
Good stuff. Scal, welcome to the company, and they tell us we're going to be talking to you from time to time during the playoffs, so that'll be good.
Yeah, anytime, guys.
All right, Scal.
Sounds good. Thank you. See ya.
All right, see you guys.
Brian Scalabrine, he's part of our company now, Radio.com, and it's all brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. Who gets the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class? Us or Scal?
Probably nobody.
That would be one of the salespeople in the back room over here.
They work a deal for themselves.
Look at all the people on the text line say that Christian sounds exactly like Scalabrine.
I want to hear it back and forth.
This sounds like Christian interviewing himself.
Which has happened before.
Really? So let's see if we can put some tape together of the two of them talking and see if we can figure this one out. 617-779-7937. More to come right here at OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We're back with more Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm getting a lot of people to think the big fellow over here sounds exactly like Brian Scalabrine. And I must tell you, when I listen to the two of you now, there is some, you know, some semblance there.
It's cadence. Right. Maybe it's
so, Ryan, what can we do? Can we break down the two of them?
Yeah, you want to hear this?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, let's see if you guys can tell who is who.
Okay.
No one can really know, like, when that's going to happen to you. It just, you know, it just kind of happens. You just don't feel like you can put up with it anymore.
All right, man. I'm going to show you guys why I'm a Hall of Famer. Not just an all-star, not a great. I'm a Hall of Famer.
Hey, you know, for the opportunities I got, yeah, I was. I'd like to get some more opportunities, you know, in the field, you know, and then kind of build on.
Front of the rim.
Offensively, you know, I think we're on the right track, you know.
And then we proceeded with four jump shots.
We're just trying to fine-tune the stuff that we really want to emphasize for the season. Yeah. You know, our basic stuff. You know, then
hold on, that's old.
When it's back-to-back like that, I don't hear it.
Yeah, you'd have to hear them separately. There's a little bit of it there. The way...
Who's got the sexier voice? I definitely do.
I would say.
If I was going to read something from a Penthouse forum.
You don't think you'd do the White Mamba?
I'd like to hear Scal read something from Penthouse.
We should probably try to do
that. They're still in business, by the way, Penthouse forum.
I doubt it. Almost stories are fake anyways.
You guys have that California cadence because he was born in Long Beach.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that Valley girl.
He would say the same thing. He would say it the same way you just said.
You know what? You know, a death sentence. You know, like, you know, we have all this. You know, I'd like, you know, somebody just thought, you know, guess.
Okay,
you
stop.
Know,
that's irritating.
Oh, right there it is.
You know,
oh, right there it is.
You know,
what do you know?
You know, worked on, you know, packages or, you know, we're just trying to, you know, our, but for the most part.
Wow, that sounds like, that's like Trey Flowers.
Wow.
That's Trey Flowers. That was back from 03.
Yeah, you were on with Butch and somebody else. Wow. Oh, it was Newmy. It was Butch and Newmy.
A lot of you know.
Didn't know who they were either.
Oh. Yeah, okay. No idea.
No idea who they were.
So you just walked in there. And,
no, I was on the phone.
I don't know. Oh. You know.
Maybe it's a Patriot thing.
But I get it. I think there's a little bit of.
Maybe a little bit.
Man,
little
not bit. Really.
Back to next to each other. I don't hear it.
All right. So if you guys saw this whole thing with Tom Izzo, yes. That is suddenly, because we're not going to sit here and spend a lot of time talking about the NCAA tournament. If you care about it, you're watching the games right now. If not, we have the monitors on here, but it's like background music. But Tom Izzo is taking an unbelievable amount of heat. So we're going to let you listen to the play-by-play. He's got a freshman player out there who is simply showing no effort, not getting back defensively, just not getting the job done. Izzo calls a timeout, and they're actually on a run at the time. They were playing well. The rest of the team was playing well. This kid wasn't, and he got into his face.
And there was a little bit of animation here from Coach Tom Izzo. To his freshman, Aaron Henry.
You would think on a 10-0 run, Tom Izzo would be happy. Izzo now having words with the freshman, Henry, who seems a little bit perplexed. And then this is still in that same huddle here. The little lunge there by Izzo. And you see the players getting between. Emotions are high. This is tournament time, right?
And we're all friends now.
So the kid's name is Aaron Henry,
yep.
And even some of the players, at least one player, the
older
guard,
players,
the older players,
got it in a freshman.
Way. So he's taking all sorts of heat. Now, when the game is over, he's doing the press conference, and it's the first thing that the media is asking him. They won the game, by the way, and he doubles down. He's not backing off this one bit.
You know, there are some things Aaron didn't do a very good job of, and yet, you know what? Happened. I did get after him, and he did respond, and he did make a couple big buckets, and he did make some big free throws. But that's not good enough. This is one-and-done time, you know? The my bads are out the window. If they're my bads because that team played better or that guy played better, if it's my bad because I decided to jog back instead of sprint back, then it is your bad, and you're going to hear about it. So maybe that's what it was.
And then he didn't shy away. With the media, he went right at the media because they were peppering him with questions. Now you could tell not only were they peppering him, but they were offended by this. Oh my God, I can't believe what you just
after did. The thing with Henry, you kind of knew you had to stick with him because you don't have much of a bench. And then the end of the game, did you call to feed the ball into him when the ball found him in the post? Did you go to him even though you challenged him because you knew you'd have to challenge him at some point, or you knew you'd have to go to him because that's who you had to play with? Tell me about the thought process going to him late.
Yeah, we challenged him, and we said if he's going to down screen, McQuaid hits the one. And we said the next time we'll slip it and we'll get it to you in the post because we figured they'd jump out of McQuaid. And it sort of happened that way. And he made a couple big plays in there, and which he's capable of doing. I get a kick out of you guys. Get after somebody because you're trying to hold them accountable. I don't know what kind of business you're in, but I'll tell you what, if I was the head of a newspaper and you didn't do your job, you'd be held accountable. That's the way it is.
Ooh, dig. Threw it right back at
I saw at this thing actually when it was happening as well. I didn't have one problem with it.
I didn't
all.
Either.
I don't understand this stuff. Like, it wasn't. People want to compare him to, if he grabbed him by the shirt and threw him onto the bench or he knocked him
popped
him or punched him or threw a chair at him. Okay. So he walks out into the court and gets in his face. And then it's just screaming at him. What do people think this is?
My bads are out the window.
I had coaches. I had a coach one time call a meeting and said, if another player says my bad, I'm taking you out of the game. I'm not going to play you for a week.
That term used to
piss people off. Listen, the guy's trying to coach him. Again, if he grabbed him around the neck and threw him down and took a swing at him, we're talking a different story here.
Yeah, but
verbal assault, to me, doesn't exist when it comes to a coach.
But I can see.
I know there's people that can go the other way and go a little bit too strong and too extreme. I get it. And if you're around, it gets uncomfortable because you actually hear what these coaches say to these kids. I don't have a problem with it.
No, that was Bobby Knight. I think he had his own son, didn't he, at one point? But I'm seeing it. Deadspin, others, they are sitting here, and they are all over Tom Izzo. I thought the whole idea of going to college, and I get it. The coach makes lots of money.
Get drunk and have lots of
sex. The coach, that's part of it, part of the experience. The coach makes lots of money, and the kids get scholarships, so they get money for their education, but they don't get paid. We get all that. But you tell me, isn't the part of college education to teach these young men what it's like when you go out into the real world?
So I was actually a very good athlete.
Right, whether it's playing basketball or whether it's, you know, working in a bank, okay, working in a financial firm. And that's exactly what he's doing. They don't hand you this stuff. If you're not busting your ass, if you're not working hard, mm-hmm. your boss is going to get in your face. And you better learn right now in college. And I see all of the stuff that's going on right now on these college campuses, and these kids think they're entitled to everything. Here's a coach who's basically saying, you're on scholarship, son. Wake up. It's one and out. You're letting down all of your other teammates. And then you're giving me crap by saying, my bad, my bad, my bad. This is teaching the kid a lesson. By the way, the kid handled it well when the game was over.
Yeah, good for him.
When he was asked by it, he said pretty much the coach was doing what the coach needed to do.
Well, what that coach needed to do.
Yes,
and
get him
and
going.
It's not like this is new to people who follow or who have been coached by Tom Izzo. Like, you know this is his
personality. You know what you're getting, right.
Yeah, and people say, well, that doesn't excuse it. Like, no, but it doesn't need to be excused. That's my thing. Like, this is his style, and I love the fact that he holds people to a higher standard, and you challenge him. You have no idea what this kid is capable of doing because you haven't pushed him yet. So we're going to hear a lot of sound, and there's Shannon Sharp, and there's who is it? Skip Bayless, who, honestly, are so embarrassing. Okay. I'm embarrassed for both of them.
All right, let's do this. We're going to open up the phone lines because I guarantee, unfortunately, all three of us agree on this one. I wish one of us actually disagreed, but, you know, we're giving you our honest feeling on this one. I guarantee you there's a majority of the people out there, because I'm seeing it everywhere and seeing it on Twitter, who totally disagree and believe that Izzo should be suspended, should be fired, or at least should be in some way disciplined, all right, or criticized. Load them up. 617-779-7937. Not only are we going to hear from all of these prominent people who have their two cents on it, but the guy who's had the pulse of the NCAA tournament since it started with the play-in games the other night is going to give us his two cents on the Izzo story as well.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
Time change.
Yep.
And, oh, he loved him. He loved him. Skip, you know what? There was a time that Bobby Knight loved Neil Reed. Come on. This is unacceptable. You made your point. You don't have to do the kid like that. You've already made your point. When you met him at the court, son, I need you to run back. Son, I need you to get to the rotation. Son, I need you to understand the set. You made that point crystal and abundantly clear. Mm-hmm. There was no need for the second go round at the kid. Maybe you're not doing a good enough job explaining mm-hmm. it to him. Because if he's still making those same mental mistakes, like you said, those same mental mistakes that he's making, that he made early in the year, that he's making nine in these games,
yep.
maybe you need to do a better job of coaching him up and explaining it to him.
Mm. Well, maybe this is his method of coaching him up. Matter of fact, what you don't realize is that he kept him in the game. He was part of the rest of the game. Maybe the kid actually learned because the coach was not going to accept the fact that this young player was not getting back on defense.
I'm actually surprised that Shannon Sharp actually said this.
He's an ex-athlete.
So fine. So some kids, okay, you can talk softly to them, and they self-motivate, so you don't have to yell and scream. And if a coach ends up doing it, he's doing it for us just to get a rise out of everybody. But this is what you should do. Hey, could you get back on defense? Hey, you know what? Hey, look out for the rotation. Hey, you know, be careful with your shot selection.
Stop committing five turnovers.
Or maybe he should coach it up better. Maybe some people just need a kick in the ass.
So he's comparing Bobby Knight to Neil Reed. Do you remember what Bobby Knight did to Neil Reed?
Yes. Choked him out, right?
He walked on the court as the kid was walking towards him, and he didn't stop in front of him. As the kid was walking, he grabbed him by the throat.
Right.
And held it there for about 5-10 seconds. It was like choking the kid. You're going to compare what we saw yesterday to Bobby Knight grabbing a kid by the throat and choking him?
I'm not, but I will say this.
Why would you even compare that?
Because the standards have loosened here. We're in the wussification of America, and the standards are much less. So if the Bobby Knight thing happened right now, Lou, he would never coach another day.
No, okay? Never.
Okay, but in this case, there
but
are
they want the same thing now for this guy. There's people that want him gone.
Because the standards are different. So what was an 85 on the scale back in the old days is now 100.
Listen,
a 40 is 100.
I understand that. But if that's the case, then don't compare it to Bobby Knight and Neil Reed.
So what
I mean,
if,
that's just, you can't compare that.
What if I would? What if I told you that his co-host, his partner, Skip Bayless, actually compared him to Woody Hayes?
I grew up that way, so I get this mentality, but he's still living in the 60s to me, Tom Izzo.
That is interesting.
And he's getting away with 60s, with Woody Hayes behavior.
Yes.
And at what point does the president of his school, which has been under fire,
yeah,
finally say, this is just a bad look for us?
Yeah.
Like, can't you? You can coach without doing that.
And it was
can yell and scream without balling your fist up.
We're comparing it to that a-hole doctor who was abusing women. Are we serious here?
So how do you have to explain to your athlete? Why isn't this a good sign of how to do it right? Okay, because when I saw this, I was watching it.
Because it's a different world, Christian.
I only want to make sure. The only thing I get concerned with is when coaches put their hand on players. That to me,
I agree.
So I was watching for that.
So when he first walked up,
he
tapped him on the jersey. Like,
yeah.
Get over here.
Yes. Okay. I got to get your attention.
He didn't hit him.
Nope, didn't touch him. So he lunged at him, but he didn't lunge at him with his fist up like he was going to check him. He lunged at him with just his body to get his attention again. And don't give me the players had to get involved. And he's got a veteran team. He's got older players, so they know what he's like. Calm down. We'll get him. We got him. So to sit there and compare it to Woody Hayes
behavior.
Or 1960s, I would say this is a good show. This is a good sign that coaches can still be aggressive and coach with passion and still get their point across without being a complete a-hole.
I'm sure people have done it already. There's got to be video out there. I've seen Tom Izzo like this in the past.
I mean, come on, fellas.
I mean, this is what Tom Izzo does. He's an emotional guy. Been a very successful coach over the years, and they keep on coming back to Michigan State, right? They keep on showing up. It's not like this. I'm not going to play for that coach.
But this is not even, I don't even think this is fair what we're even doing, because I don't think this is that bad. This is not some, though. Now this
are
is
you
a,
hearing the reaction out there?
Do you think this is bad? I feel like a lot of people are coming to his defense.
I don't think this is as bad.
You can look at the Deadspins of the world, but that's obvious. You're going to get that with Deadspin. They're going to sit there and cuddle and, you know, and like want to, you know, sing a lullaby to every single player before they go to bed.
The next thing you're going to get is some special interest groups that says, you know, abuse isn't just physical.
That's mental. Thank
it
you.
Can be verbal.
Yeah.
And we all know. But, okay, but this here, this is a coach yelling at a player, but I guarantee right now there's someone out there that's just getting the petition ready.
Yep.
That's getting their statement ready to the Michigan State University that, by the way, has had a tough go of it lately.
Yep.
I understand that. You know, the whole gymnastics thing they had going on.
Right.
But it's okay. We watch this right now. Did he go too far? I don't think like you said, he didn't push the kid. He didn't grab the kid. Didn't punch the kid. Didn't choke the kid. Didn't throw a chair at the kid. Like, you know what I mean? It was a verbal attack from a coach to a player who wasn't getting it.
I'm looking at it.
I don't have a problem with
calls for suspensions, call for he shouldn't be coaching anymore. The game has passed him by. It's a different world. Or the other one, he owes the kid and the public an apology. And unfortunately, it would not surprise me at all.
If
the university goes to him and says, you have to apologize. I agree. I don't think he should.
I apologize.
We're in a different world
Christian,
now.
Christian, know as well as I do, he is going to apologize today.
Wait, he had an opportunity.
Nope.
The game was over.
Yep.
He explained himself. The reporter tried to bait him, and he should.
Yep. Yeah, but they got more pissed than he doubled down.
This whole my bad generation, I get it.
The AD didn't have time to talk to him after the game. So they let him do his interview. And now he's going to come back. We just had this a little bit ago. Didn't we have like a guy do an interview, then come back like a day later and apologize?
Yes.
I forget what it was.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe because it was too fresh and too worried about
what he's going to be under pressure to apologize. He will be. He will be. He'll be under the pressure to do it.
They may discuss it. What I think is that he did an excellent job of getting his point across.
But here's the issue that I have, the biggest issue I have, is that is a college campus. And his job is just the same as a professor. He is teaching these young men how to deal with the real world. But this is the real world. Your boss doesn't yell at you. Your boss doesn't sit there and make you accountable for your actions. That's not part of the real world. And guess what?
Keep playing the game.
If you don't do it, you lose your job. You get fired. So he's giving them life lessons. The problem is that in the present day in 2019, we have too many people and too many on college campuses who don't understand what the real world is about. So they send these kids out saying, ooh, the little marshmallows need to be treated nicely, soft, keep them soft. You know, take
they
care
need a comfort
of
room.
Comfort,
room.
Need a, comfort, need a comfort dog, comfort animal, comfort room, rabbit,
whatever you need to do to make
right,
it.
Exactly.
We're going to take a comfort timeout right here in the middle of the NCAA basketball tournament.
Shh, everybody breathe deeply now. Let's go to the phone calls. I want to get reaction on this, and we'll let you hear from some other people, including somebody who apparently had problems with the whole topic today. here's Joe in Rhode Island. Hello, Joe.
Hello, guys.
Yo.
You know, here's my thought immediately. This is the snowplow parent group. This is the everybody gets
snow
a trophy
plows.
Group.
Snow this snow is, the, no more
valedictorians in the class group. Give me a break. The guy's coaching. He didn't do the Bobby Knight thing. This kid knew what he was bargaining for when he went to Michigan State. It's a coach trying to inspire.
Yeah, thanks.
We're losing you.
Okay, I'm just glad the way the kid dealt with it afterwards, right?
He did a good job.
He could either explode. He can go nuts. And, you know, it could get more life if he kind of complained afterwards.
Let me ask you this, though.
His parents call the university and transfer, that type of stuff. But instead, he's like, I wouldn't say he's more demanding, Henry said of Izzo. Because he knows that I think I can rise to the challenge because I've been doing that all year, I feel like. It's just if my plate gets bigger, I get more food to eat. I just got to eat it. So this kid's sitting there saying, hey, the more he's putting on me, the more demanding he is, the better I've been responding all year long.
But are you telling me that the kid hasn't heard this during the course of the season, maybe in practice? You don't think the other players on Tom Izzo's team have not heard this before? A lot louder and probably with a lot more F-bombs because he's in a private setting in a private gym as opposed to a public arena? Are you kidding me? These kids knew exactly how Rizzo was going to react if his team was not doing what they were supposed
now,
to do.
Now, maybe it's a lot different for a junior or a senior. Maybe he handles and coaches those guys up differently because each coach is going to have all these different personalities, and you obviously going to have to challenge each guy differently. I don't think he does this to a senior.
These guys for a year now,
but he's got a freshman on his team that's playing a bunch because the other guys on the bench, the other starters or the role players, were hurt.
Suck.
So they got hurt. So he had to go down and put this guy in the game.
So Henry went on and said, just responding to it is accepting the coaching and not having a pity party for yourself. Just being a basketball player and go respond. This is the player who you could say he embarrassed, you know, on national TV. And he's out there saying, listen, I can't have a pity party for myself. Let's go play basketball. It's coaching. Yet everybody else is offended. Yet everybody else is in an uproar right now and wants Tom Izzo's job.
So the result of all of this is that the kid finally figured out what he was supposed to do, finally got his energy level up to 100%. He played well the rest of the game. And then when the game was over, the kid, when he was interviewed, sat there and basically said, yeah, I finally got the message, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. So what is the problem? The coach used a technique to raise the level of the play of this young player. The player did it. The player responded. And then when the game was over, the player said, yes, I did what I needed to do, and I wasn't doing it. The lesson was learned.
What if
and people are pissed off.
You know, I've seen so many different situations like this. What if the coach is yelling and screaming in this guy's face, but he's challenging him? He's challenging him. He's yelling. He's screaming. He's encouraging him at the same time and trying to get some sort of inspiration out of him. Right. What if that's the message? Is that a bad thing? Or does it need to be...
The optics are bad because you're not hearing it.
Okay, or I mean, if you do hear, but still, it's like, well, that was aggressive. Or does it need to be, hey, it's only 3 seconds left. I don't know if you have anything left in your tank or not, but we really need some good defense from you.
The optics
and
would
I
look
need
better.
You need to be really smart. But you don't have to do it. If you're not feeling up to it and you maybe... Are you tired? Okay, you're tired. I get it. You know what? Just do the best you can.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty break. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I'm sure Izzo would have
break it down. You guys break it down.
I'm sure Izzo would have dealt with it differently if they were playing like a non-conference foe in the first five games of the season when they were favored by 35. This is a one and out tournament game,
and it's down to the wire,
right? Everybody is affected. Your teammates are playing their ass off. This one young kid is floating out there. His head is somewhere else. Steve is in New Hampshire on this subject. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys. I watched the video, and one of the things that really struck me and really kind of brought it to the forefront is the way the other players kind of tried to calm the coach down. They put their hands on his shoulder and said, "Coach, it's okay, it's okay." I don't know if you saw that, but that to me spoke volumes about the chemistry of the team, the fact that they felt comfortable enough to do that, you know, not thinking that the coach would lash out at them.
Listen, he's an emotional guy, and it's college sports. And I agree. I think it's a great point because the other players have seen it before, probably, and they felt comfortable enough that they could go to the coach.
And they were there. They were in Henry's shoes at one point in time when they were young.
Exactly. There's a big difference between this, and that's where the Shannon Sharps and others, I think, are missing the boat here. This is not professional sports. In professional sports, we get a lot of people who call up and say, "I wish the coach would start screaming and getting into somebody's face."
Absolutely.
You can't do that when a player is making $25 million and the coach or the manager is making $2 million, $3 million. They don't have that type of power. The player has that power. In college, this is all about teaching, learning the sport, learning what it's like to play on a team. But the coach has all of the power.
Yeah.
I don't care.
It's much different. He can do that in college. And you guys know, a guy like this, he couldn't do this in the pros.
I don't want that.
No, he couldn't. And, I mean, a guy like Izzo's been around a while. He knows personalities. I mean, the guy is, listen, he's one of the best coaches in college basketball. So he's been through it before. He knows there's some guys, and I'm sure he's got that need the confidence, that need the pat on the back all the time. And he probably sees a lot of talented kids that knows he needs to be pushed. So I look at that, what I saw, and I just saw him berating this player. I have no problem with it. I've seen it happen many, many times.
Yeah, a lot of people do. Here's Sean in Connecticut. Do you have a problem with it?
Not at all, Glenn. I agree with what you said earlier. You said it's the wussification of America, which it is. Excuse me. Lou, you can relate to this, Lou.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. I yelled at as a baseball player.
I played American Legion baseball back in the 80s, and I played for my father, who was a very intense person, great coach, great guy. Well, I was a third baseman.
Caught his part of the week story time.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a tough day at third base and made a couple errors and booted a couple balls, and the game ended, win or lose, I'd be like, "Okay, you ready to go home?" He'd say, "No." And he'd put me on the outfield fence with no glove, and he hit laser fungos at me for like a half an hour to block the ball.
You can relate to that, Lou?
This is kind of going overboard now. Sean, let me ask you one question. I'm just curious. How old were you?
I was 18 years old.
Okay. I think it's a little aggressive.
Well, I don't know. It taught me a very good lesson.
But did you try to make those errors?
Say it again?
Did you try to make those errors? Did you try to strike out?
No, of course not.
So why are we getting peppered by baseballs?
To learn, to make sure I stayed in front of the baseball. I did a couple of Olays in a game, and he's like, "No, get out on the fence, and we're gonna fire."
Sounds a little extreme to me, right? A little extreme. Yeah, it's when America was for real.
That's my point. And
it's a little bit much.
I don't think you're gonna find. Yeah, I don't think you're gonna find anyone. I challenge you.
Come America's up.
Give me somebody
people.
Who has an issue with it.
You're gonna.
I feel most people are okay with it. Most people that that live in New England, because we're all tough people here in New England, you're not going to find any moms, you're not going to find any dads, and I guarantee you're not going to find any kids.
Listen, this is America!
Deadspin is the home of snowflakes, I know that. I can't even read this piece, because they're calling Tom Izzo names.
Yeah. So you can't even read them. But you expect it from that guy who probably never played sports and doesn't get it, and is only going to look at the yelling and the screaming. I challenge you right now. 617-779-7937.
Like this.
Give me one person that has an issue with it.
Good job.
Just
Scal.
One. I only want one person that has an issue with it. And try to explain it to me. All right. Change my mind if you can. I don't think you can because I don't think you're tough enough. I think you're weak. I think you're chicken. I think you're scared. You kicked it. You don't have it in you. It's Friday. You just want to go home. You don't want to deal with any attitude or any discussions or any debate. You just want to have. You want to go get your drink. You want to go home and have a good time.
Get your trophy.
Everybody gets. Everybody gets a trophy.
Hey, lemonade for everybody.
What do you want? Reamer to call in?
No, Reamer. No, no, no.
He plays flag football.
All right, we'll see if anybody wants to challenge the big fellow over here with this one. We're going to hear from Charles Barkley. You want to see here? Find out where he stands on this one. And a guy who's been really into this NCAA tournament, unlike us, apparently had no idea the story was actually a big story. We'll do all of that and your phone calls next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.